On this Easter Lord's Day, would you join me in our Paschal greeting printed in your order of worship? Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Peace be with you and also with you. Our gathering hymn is number 197. We welcome glad Easter. 197. You may be seated. We welcome you as we gather on this Easter Sunday here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're here. Some that are home visiting, some that are in our community who are visiting with us, and we're so delighted that you have come. And of course, our regular folks too. We thank you and greet you in Christ's name. And for those who are joining us by radio or on the internet, we appreciate your being with us and pray it'll be a blessing to you as well. And we invite you to come and worship with us in person here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church anytime. We'd love to have you. Let me mention several things very quickly. We will not have youth group this evening because we know a lot of families are gathering. Wednesday evening, we will have kids club at 6, choir practice at 6:15, and prayer and Bible study at 7 o'clock, and we'll be completing our study of Paul's letters to the Thessalonians. We want to say thanks to all those who assisted with the food bank last week and also those who helped with the Easter egg hunt on Wednesday. We will hold our quarterly church conference on May 4th, immediately following the worship service, and also there are a number of memorial gifts that are listed in the bulletin today. As we worship God together, I invite you to join me in the Easter proclamation printed in our order of worship. The crucified and risen Lord Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and see, I am alive forever and ever. And I have the keys of death and Hades. All praise to you, victorious, risen Lord." Brothers and sisters, this is the day of resurrection, when we remember with gladness and joy how Christ, who is our life, arose from the dead. Let us praise God and give him thanks as we joyfully celebrate our Lord's victory over Satan, sin, and death. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And let us pray. Almighty God, by raising your Son from the grave, you broke the power of death and condemned death itself to die. As we celebrate this great triumph on this highest and holiest of days, make us keenly aware of the holy presence of our risen Lord Jesus among us. May we experience the reality of his resurrection and its meaning for our lives, our life together, and indeed for all creation, in new and deeper ways than ever before. In the name of our risen Lord, who holds the keys of death and Hades, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Before we sing our hymn, let me mention also that there is a list of the memorials and gifts for the Easter lilies. And if you will notice on the communion table, I know that it's difficult for you to see them well, but as we prepared for the Stations of the Cross, two of our youth made replicas of the tomb. And so one is over here. This one was made by Jeffrey Sainer, and this one over here was made by Jack Cole. And so if you get a chance to come by after the service, I think you'd like to see those. They did a great job on them. Our hymn of praise is number 194, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. 194.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia.
Thank you. Now let's have the children to come for the children's sermon. Oh, come right ahead. Come ahead there, buddy. All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I tell you what. Y'all are a long way down there. Aaron, let's move this way. I'll get right here, okay? All right. Now, I'm a little closer to you now. Well, what's today? Easter. So happy Easter. And when you think about Easter, what do you usually think about? Eggs? Okay, what about eggs? You know what? When I was growing up, the Easter eggs were real eggs. They weren't the plastic eggs like this that had the candy or coins or whatever in them. They were just real eggs that had been boiled and dyed. So we got to eat those. Well, think about eggs. You know, some people think about the Easter bunny, and they think about new clothes and all that kind of stuff like that. And all those things are nice. But is that what Easter is really all about? No, no. Now, I do have an egg here, but when I open it up, what is that? That's a cross. And that cross has what on it? It's a white cloth, isn't it? Yeah. And I'm going to talk in a minute about what that means. You know, in the Bible, we learn about how Jesus came to earth. He's the Son of God who always has been. And he came and was born of Mary, and he was the Son of God, and he lived here on this earth, and he lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He died on the cross for us. But when he died, he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. And when we have our faith in him and trust him, then we can be set right with God and our sins can be forgiven. So we put the cloth on the cross to remind us that Jesus isn't there. And the white means that we're celebrating his victory. And so today, as we celebrate Easter, we're celebrating Jesus' resurrection. And you know, when you think about the fact that he died, and he died a horrible, horrible death, but now he's alive again. He rose from the dead. That's something to celebrate, isn't it? Because of what he's done in Christ, what God has done in Christ, we can be saved from our sins, we can be set right with God, and we can live with him forever when we leave this life. And that is something to celebrate. So happy Easter. Jesus is risen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for each of these children, and we ask your blessings on them and pray that you will be with them in a very special way. And Lord, that as we celebrate Christ's resurrection today, that they will be able to learn with all of us more deeply what that means. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. It's good to see all of you this morning.
Today's Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Psalm 118, verse 1, and then verses 22 through 24. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Today's New Testament lesson comes from the book Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord. Praise his holy name.
We come now to our prayer time, and among those that we've been asked to remember this morning, Sarahi Blackburn. She's having a cardiac appointment on the 22nd. We've also been asked to remember the family of Christy Warren, to remember Randy and Cindy Copeland and Bonnie Jenkins and Gary Brett. Also continue to pray for Genevieve Broadhead and for Gerald Taylor. And I know that there are others on our hearts and minds as well, especially the folks down in Florida affected by the shooting at Florida State. A lot of damage from storms yesterday out in the Midwest. So let's join together in prayer this morning, and we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for what we celebrate this Easter Sunday. We come to you, Lord, worshiping you with joy in our hearts and thanksgiving on our lips, because when the powers of evil had done their worst, crucifying your Son, burying him in death, you raised him to life again, an act of power giving hope to the world. Lord Jesus, we rejoice that death could not keep you in its grip, that you were raised to life, alive forevermore. You greeted your friends, and now you stand amongst us in your risen power. And Spirit of God, you're always giving life to the people of God, giving birth to children of God. Remodel us in the image of Jesus. Fill us with his love and enable us with his risen power, that we might be faithful to his way, used by you in the redeeming of your world. And Lord, we come to lift up petitions and intercessions for those who are in need. We think of those affected by the stormy weather in recent days. We ask your help for them. We think, Father, of those affected by the shooting at Florida State, and we ask your help and comfort for them as well. Lord, we think of those who are sick and suffering or injured, and we lift them to you, praying that you would watch over and keep them, and Lord, that where it can be your will, that you would bring healing and restoration of health. For those, Father, who are going through difficult times, for those, Lord, who are facing diagnoses, and those, Father, who are grieving because of the loss of loved ones or other losses that they've experienced, we ask your help for them. Lord, we pray for our country, for our state, for our town, for our civil leaders at all levels, praying that you would guide them to do what is right in all things, to do what is truly best for those that they serve. We pray, Father, for your church throughout the world and in this place, and for the work of your kingdom throughout the world. We pray, Father, that you would help us as this local congregation known as Murfreesboro Baptist Church, this local expression of the body of Christ, to be living in such a way that it would be obvious that you are among us, to be living in such a way that our works and our deeds will open doors for people to hear the good news of Jesus. Lord, we pray for all those who may be in physical need or spiritual need, especially those who don't know you. We pray that your Spirit would touch their hearts and open them to receive the gospel. We pray, Father, for those who may know you but have become indifferent or backslidden, that your Spirit would draw them back. We pray, Father, for our children and our youth, for their families, for their teachers, for those who guide them in other ways, for our college students, for all the students, faculty, staff, administration at Chowan. Lord, be with them and guide them. And Father, we pray for this time of worship. This is our highest and holiest day. And we celebrate the resurrection of Christ every Sunday, we know. But Lord, we also know that after we have been through this long season of Lent, where we have been examining our discipleship and where we have been preparing ourselves to remember the sufferings of Jesus and to celebrate his resurrection, now that day has come, and we celebrate with joy and gladness for all that you have done in Christ Jesus our Lord and all that you have promised us in him. And so now, Lord, may all glory be to you in the name of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who was dead but is alive, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, is one God forever and ever. So hear us now, Father, as we lift our prayers in the words of that prayer that he taught us, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 207, Low in the Grave He Lay. Please stand. Let's pray. Almighty Father, you showed us your generous grace and mercy when you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus, to show us your ways, to die on the cross for us. Though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. You showed us your power when you raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand in glory. Create and nurture this kind of generosity in us, Lord, that just as he gave himself for us, we might give first ourselves and then what you've blessed us with to the work of your kingdom. And demonstrate your power among us as you multiply what is given for the accomplishment of your redemptive purpose in the world. Through Christ our risen Lord, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
invite you to listen again to the resurrection story, this time from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Luke 24, 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they, that is the women, came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find a body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." And then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. Lord, as we look into your word now, and as we reflect on what happened on that amazing morning, we pray that your Spirit would guide our thoughts and open our hearts to receive your word and to obey it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As the women were on their way to the tomb that Sunday morning, the events of the previous Friday had to be weighing heavily on their minds. Must have all seemed like such a waste, because here was one who was like no other they had ever known. He was so loving, so gracious, so accepting, even of outcasts. So utterly perfect in every way. So much that they'd come to believe that he was the Son of God, the Messiah. And it had all started about 3 years earlier when Jesus had come to John the Baptist to be baptized. Something amazing happened there. After his baptism, as he was praying, the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form as a dove, and then there came a voice from heaven that could only be the voice of God, saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." From the beginning, those around him knew that there was something special about him. And then for the next 3 years, Jesus traveled around Galilee and Judea, preaching and teaching the kingdom of God, healing the sick, casting out demons. In the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth, he claimed Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, as his mission statement, declaring that he was anointed by the Spirit of the Lord to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to captives and sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And that's exactly what he did. He went around proclaiming that God's rule had come near in him, and he showed God's rule as he demonstrated his power over nature, over demons, over disease, even over death. And all the while, he taught his disciples what it means to come after him, to deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow him. Peter, John, and James had seen Jesus as no one else had when he had taken them up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, he was transfigured into his glorified eternal state, even as Moses and Elijah appeared with him also in glory. And they were talking with him about his departure, literally his exodus that he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. And it was such an astounding experience, such an astounding experience, that they couldn't talk about it to anybody else at the time. Jesus had continued his ministry, preaching and teaching about what it means to live under God's rule, telling parables, pronouncing woes and blessings, giving warnings and offering encouragement, calling sinners to repentance with the assurance that God would gladly welcome them. And then just a week before the women were making their way to the tomb that morning, Jesus had entered Jerusalem riding a donkey as his disciples cried out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." He went straight to the temple. He drove out those who were selling in the temple courts, those merchants who had made it a den of robbers as they took advantage of pilgrims exchanging coins and selling them animals for sacrifice, all for a handsome profit. Throughout that last week, Jesus had several encounters with the Sadducees, the chief priests, the Pharisees, and their scribes who taught the law. They tried to catch him in something that he said so they'd have grounds for accusations against him, but they couldn't. But what they could do was to strike a deal with a disgruntled disciple, Judas Iscariot. And while it's still a mystery, except to say, as both Luke and John do, that Satan entered him, Judas went to the chief priests and negotiated a betrayal. And what made his betrayal even more treacherous was that he instigated it. But it was no surprise to Jesus. Even as he gathered the 12 for his last supper with them on that Thursday night, he knew what Judas was doing. And during the supper, he warned his disciples that he was going to be betrayed by one of them. And he also warned Peter that he was going to deny Jesus three times before the night was over. Well, Jesus had been arrested the night before he died after he'd been praying in the garden on the Mount of Olives. He'd gone through a sham of a trial before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council. They sent him on to Pilate, accusing him of sedition, trying to stir up in an insurrection and a rebellion against the empire. Pilate sent him to Herod. Herod sent him back to Pilate. Neither of them found a basis for a charge, but the Jewish leaders kept insisting on it and pressuring Pilate. And he tried three times to release Jesus. Three times. But he finally gave in to them and released Barabbas, who was an insurrectionist and a murderer. And then Pilate turned Jesus over for crucifixion. And he'd already been beaten so badly several times that he was too weak to carry his cross all the way to Golgotha, that hill called the Skull. So they seized Simon from Cyrene and made him follow behind Jesus carrying his cross. And when they got to the execution site, they crucified Jesus along with two other criminals. And Luke doesn't give us many details about the crucifixion itself, probably because it was so familiar to people of that day. I mean, they saw it all the time because that was the Romans' favorite way to keep people in line. If somebody was a thief or a murderer or an insurrectionist, you crucified them publicly so that people would see what happened when you did those kinds of things. Roman citizens were not crucified, they were beheaded, but non-Romans were. And it was a particularly cruel death. I won't go into all the details, but the way that the victim was positioned on the cross caused great difficulty and pain in breathing, and though a lot of blood could be lost, it was usually infection or exposure to the elements or suffocation that killed the victim. If they were in good shape when they were put on the cross, it could take as many as 3 to 5 days for the person to die. The fact that Jesus died after only 6 hours simply shows us how badly he had already been beaten and how much blood he had already lost before he was crucified. And yet as he hung there, already bloodied and battered, Jesus prayed for his Father to forgive those who'd brought about and executed his crucifixion. Even in the midst of all the mocking and jeering, he heard the repentant thief ask him to remember him when he entered his kingdom. And Jesus promised him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Then about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun went dark. The veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, quoting Psalm 31:5, prayed, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And with that, Jesus died. That was on Friday. Now it was Sunday morning, the third day by Jewish reckoning. When Jesus had died, a Roman centurion praised God, declaring that he was a righteous man. Many went away beating their chests in grief. And those who knew Jesus, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, they watched it all from a distance. Joseph of Arimathea, who was a member of the Sanhedrin who opposed Jesus' death, asked Pilate for his body, and he put it in a new tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And the women watched to see where he laid Jesus. Then they went home, and they prepared spices and perfumes to anoint his body properly for burial. At least that's what they thought. And after resting on the Sabbath, as the law commanded, those women got up early on Sunday, the first day of the week. They made their way to the tomb, and they simply weren't prepared for what they found there. Because when they got there, the stone was already rolled away. And they went into the tomb, but Jesus' body was nowhere to be found. They had seen him die. They had seen Joseph place his body in the tomb, and now it wasn't there. You can imagine how perplexed they must have been. And then while they're trying to figure out what's going on, suddenly there are two men in dazzling clothes standing there beside of them. We recognize that they were angels. And they tell them, as they are terrified and they bow their faces to the ground, the angels pronounce to them those glorious words that have echoed down through two millennia and still stir our hearts today. "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." Friends, there are no greater words than that message. He is not here. He has risen. The angels reminded them how Jesus had told them that he must be delivered into the hands of sinners and crucified, and then on the third day be raised. And then the women remembered his words. Well, among those women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and there were others as well. And these went and told the 11 disciples and the others about what had happened. But nobody believed them. Nobody believed them. They thought it was an idle tale. Peter ran to the tomb, though, to see for himself. When he got there, he stooped and he looked in, and he saw the linen cloths that the body had been wrapped in lying there. And he went away amazed. He didn't know quite what to think. He wondered what in the world had happened. Later that day, he would know, because the risen Lord Jesus would appear to him. What was it that happened? Well, Jesus rose from the dead, just as the scriptures had prophesied, and just as he had prophesied. He rose from the dead. And then he appeared to his followers. Paul tells us that he appeared to all of the disciples at various times in various ways. And then he said he appeared to more than 500 followers at one time. And Paul added, "And some of them are still among us today." These were people who had seen the risen Lord Jesus. Because you see, it's not just a story. It really happened. It really, really happened. And so today we celebrate. We don't try to argue or prove that Jesus rose. We celebrate the fact that he did. Because the fact is, the empty tomb doesn't mean much until you've met the one who left it. But now, we who know the risen Christ through faith celebrate his resurrection with great joy. We celebrate his victory over death today. The old BC comic strip that Johnny Hart wrote, one of my favorites, was the one that there was a tomb that had a sign posted beside it and said, "Tomb for sale, only used 3 days," because that's all he needed it. Just those 3 days. We celebrate the new life he gives us through faith. Paul describes it so beautifully in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. "Though we were dead in our trespasses and sins, because of his great love for us, God has made us alive in Christ, raising us up with Christ and seating us in the heavenly realms with him." And we celebrate the hope of our own resurrection because Jesus told his disciples in John 14, 19, "Because I live, you will live also." We know that the grave is not the end. We await the resurrection at the last day when we'll share in Jesus' resurrection and receive a glorified body like his, fitted for eternity. And this confidence makes all the difference in how we live our lives and how we face death. Many of you have heard me quote this before. One of my seminary professors, one of his best sayings was this: "If you know that you're going to live again, then it really doesn't matter if you die." If you know you're going to live again, then it really doesn't matter if you die. And so, my brothers and sisters, I gladly proclaim it to you once again. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, as both he and the scriptures prophesied. And so celebrate his resurrection today and celebrate it with great joy. He was dead, but now he is alive. He has risen. He's our risen Messiah, our risen Lord, who died but lives forever as King of kings and Lord of lords. So bow to him, trust him as your Lord and Savior today, and say, as we sang earlier, "We welcome glad Easter when Jesus arose and won a great victory over his foes." Then raise your glad voices, all Christians, and sing, "Bring glad Easter praises to Jesus, your King." Alleluia. Amen. I invite you to join me in an affirmation of our faith that's printed in your order of worship based on several passages from the New Testament. Would you join me? "This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are being saved, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12, and to many faithful witnesses. We believe he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is our Lord and God, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen." Our hymn of response this morning is number 622, "He Lives." We've sung about the facts of the resurrection this morning. Now we sing about the difference it makes in our lives. This morning as we sing, if God has spoken to you and there's a commitment that you need to make today, we invite you and encourage you to do that right where you are. If you need to share that commitment, we invite you to come. If you need to put your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you need guidance, we invite you to come. And for those who have put their faith in him but have not yet followed the Lord in baptism, we invite you to come today. Whatever your need is, as we stand and sing number 622. thank you. If you'd be seated for a moment, please. John and Grace, if you'd come stand with me. This morning, Grace Harders comes professing her faith publicly in Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She and John came and we had a conversation the other day. And when I asked her why she wanted to be baptized, I loved her answer. She says, "I've been thinking about this for a couple of years, and I want to know more about Jesus and follow him." And so we are grateful that she is making that commitment. And first let me ask Grace, are you willing to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as part of his church, and live as he wants you to live?
Yes.
All right, very good. All right. Congregation of Murfreesboro Baptist Church, if you are willing to accept her and to help disciple her and encourage her and love her and help her grow in Christ and receive her as a member of our church by baptism, will you please say amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Grace. All right, now John Long also comes this morning wanting to transfer his membership from Brantley's Grove Baptist Church. And so, John, I would ask those same questions of you. Are you willing to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, as a part of this church, and contribute of yourself and of your time and talent?
I am.
All right. So, congregation, are you willing to receive him, and will you pledge to walk with him as a fellow follower of Christ and accept him as a member of our church? If so, then please say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. John, Grace, we are so glad to welcome you all. Now, ordinarily, we have a little space of time before we baptize somebody after they have come forward. However, Grace's grandparents are going to be here from New Jersey next Sunday. So we're going to plan to go ahead and have that baptism next Sunday. And so we look forward to that celebration as well. And isn't that a wonderful way to continue into the season of Eastertide? So, all right. Well, thank you all, and God bless you. And I'd like to ask y'all to stay here at the front and let folks come by and greet you after the service, after the benediction, okay? All right, well, let's stand for our benediction. So go and tell the good news. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Remember his death. Proclaim his resurrection. Await his coming in glory. Dying, he destroyed our death. Rising, he restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. May the grace and peace of the risen Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.